Don't be afraid of failure. Failure is, in my opinion, failure is another way of when someone goes and pays tuition to learn in college.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's that balance of the liability or balance of the people, the customers. Yeah. How do I guarantee that these customers are going to come?
Sure.
How do I make this happen? Of course, that's fundamentals through all business, right? The first move I would make is I would sit quiet. I would sit quiet and I would listen.
I think the difference in you and a lot of restaurant owners at the time is the fact that you weren't a chef.
Not a chef, right.
So today my guest is a guy named Zach Lavoie. Now, the best guests we've had on Owner's Table have been people that have been referred to by previous guests. Ari Hicks, great friend of mine, referred us to Zach. And after talking to Zach on the phone, I did not realize that a little similar in some things. He started in the restaurant business. Third generation restaurant guy. Got out of the restaurant business and has done exceptionally well in real estate, flipping houses, just real estate in general. And just the 15, 20 minutes I talked to him on the phone, it has been fascinating. And we were also talking about some crazy projects before we got on air that we both were involved in that we didn't know that. So that's been fun. So Zach, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So family owned a restaurant, two generations before you, you were the third generation. So I want to go to restaurant stuff first.
Sure.
Okay. Because everybody says restaurants are a horrible investment. You can agree.
Right.
So let me ask this. What's the biggest mistake that you think restaurant owners make that keeps them broke?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think an important part about the restaurant is balance and budget.
Okay.
And that's budgeting your staff, budgeting your people, your menu, your customer. When I say your people, your customers.
Yeah.
And budgeting that as well. I think the hard part about it is, man, we're optimistic. If you're getting into the restaurant business, you're an optimistic individual, correct?
Very much so.
Okay. All right. So Friday night, I'm just going to give a real quick example. Friday night, I got a full staff because I know it's going to be this great night.
Yeah.
And about 7 o'clock, it's still not pumping, but they're coming. They're coming tonight. And I'm going to keep this whole staff, right? And 8 o'clock, they're still not there. Where is everybody? Why didn't they come tonight? And whatever, for whatever reason, you know, Alabama lost, or it's raining, or sometimes it's raining and they're slammed, or, you know, you just never really know. And you did not budget your inventory. You cooked the food.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't cut your staff. You can just be too optimistic in all things,
sure.
Right? You can buy that new piece of equipment because you know the spring's going to be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I get, if that answers the question, I really just think it's about a balance of things. Restaurant business is so hard to balance waste and people and customers and marketing and just all of those things.
So what I'm hearing you say is it gets back to a numbers.
Big time.
So big on numbers, mm-hmm. Number one. One of the things I've always, go ahead.
Well, I think because most people say, I love to cook. It starts with, I love to cook, and wow, this is a great dish. You should open a restaurant.
Mm.
And I don't think people understand how incredibly important the numbers are and how low the margins are.
They're so low.
They're so low. A quarter's worth of mistakes, just a few mistakes within one quarter can affect the next three quarters to no end, right?
Right.
I didn't mean to, you were gonna make a point, but.
No, I mean, I think the fact that there are so many uncontrollables in the restaurant. Okay, so a great example is this. Tuesday night, volleyball practice, which is an indoor sport, got canceled. Mm-hmm. Basketball practice, which is an indoor sport, got canceled. And track practice, it's an outdoor sport, got canceled because of the wind.
The wind. Okay.
There's not a restaurant in Birmingham that had people in it Tuesday night.
Right.
And that is an uncontrollable factor. And for most 5-day-a-week restaurants, because let's just say it's 5 days, you're looking at 20% of your weekly revenue that's gone. And so there's so many uncontrollables that I just know that I love. And I'm not a control freak, but I like to control what I can control. Mm-hmm. And if I can't control any traffic or very little traffic, it seems like it's just very, very difficult.
Right. So that's that balance of the liability or balance of the people, the customers.
Yeah.
How do I guarantee that these customers are going to come
in?
Or how do I make this happen? Of course, that's fundamentals through all business, right?
That's true.
But man, and let's say, and I know you want to be on restaurant.
But yeah.
Give an example of real estate. You might make a mistake on one, but the next one, you're going to maybe make the $150,000 and you lost 75 on this one. So you're still up 75 grand.
You're still up.
Man, you can afford to lose.
That's good.
Restaurant business, it just seems like you can't afford to lose unless you have enough in your pocket.
Almost, you get behind the eight ball and you're just hard, really, really hard to catch up.
Yeah, and then what? Now you're cutting people that you promised. Now you're not budgeting your people because they need to make their paychecks.
Yeah.
They need to take care of their families.
Everybody's got things, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
So it's a pretty successful family business. If a restaurant stays in business 5 years, I want to say it's in the top 10%. If it stays in business 10 years, it's like in the top 1 or 2%.
Yeah, yeah.
How long was this restaurant in business?
I closed on the 60th year, 60 years. Now, I was only in it about 9 of those 60. But let me tell you.
You owned it 9.
9.
You ran it 9 years.
Yeah.
Did you work your just face off?
Oh, God. Listen, okay, that we'll talk further into this. Who doesn't, yeah. right? I want to go a little further back. We're actually, my great-grandparents had Romeo's in Bessemer.
Really?
And Romeo's restaurant, my grandmother, Juliette Romeo, married Frank Lavoie that then opened Lavoie's restaurant. So that's
really?
So really we were a Romeo's recipe.
In Bessemer. And they moved it?
The Romeo's, we sort of split, right? So my grandparents went downtown. They were on 4th Avenue, I think.
Yeah.
Quote me there. They had the restaurant down there for 10 years and then moved out to Green Springs. And then that's where it stayed forever, was at Green Springs. Yeah, and I can get into that history a little bit of why we moved and what went on with all that if you want to.
So why did you decide to leave? Because it was successful. Why'd you decide to leave?
All right. So I was in the real estate business before I bought the restaurant. So my dad and uncle were partners in this restaurant. Okay. 17 years old. If you don't mind me going back a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm 16. And my dad says, hey, we're talking about buying or selling. One of us is going to maybe split from here. One had a thought of growth. The other had a thought of let's just stay right where we are.
Mm.
Okay. And Lakeshore was starting to develop Landry's and all these restaurants. You know, well, should we come over here? Should we own our place? Should we do this or that? So he says, what do you want to do? Do you want to go?
A 16-year-old kid?
16.
Shoot.
Do you want to go to college? You want to be a businessman? I said, well, I think I want to be a businessman. He said, well, save my money. Save this $100 I'm going to have to spend for you to go to college, and I'll just teach you. I'll teach you the business. Do you want restaurant business?
Okay, let me go back. Let me stop there because I want to hear this. So he had $100,000-ish or wanted to
whatever the number.
Use that arbitrary $100,000.
Right.
And so he's got some money set aside. And he said, let's just save it and this puts you in the restaurant business.
Yeah, let me just he's like, if you want to be a businessman, I'm going to teach you how to be a business guy.
I love it.
Right?
I love it.
You want to be a doctor, baby? I'll pay you to go be a doctor.
No doubt.
But if this is what you want to do, right? So I said, yeah, I think this is what I want to do. So he says,
that's so good.
How cool is this, right? So he says, then I'm going to buy. I will buy your uncle.
Okay.
And then we will continue this, and then you can become partners with me, and this is how we'll, you know, this is what we'll do. 6 months later, he buys it. 6 months later, he's diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. Got a year to live, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we're, I'm learning.
You're 60, you're still in high school.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But homeschool. I was a homeschooler.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could run with him.
That's great.
Excuse me.
Yeah, you're good.
And man, I mean, he didn't start teaching any of us business at 16, right?
No.
I mean, you know, our whole, you know.
From birth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At 9, it was, hey, I'm going to Jamaica, call the airport and get me a ticket. I'll stand here and listen to you do it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So he was always putting us in those positions. He comes back and he says, I'm going to have to sell back to
your uncle.
I am not going to live. They are telling me I'm not going to live. Zach, it's okay. You know, he was a believer.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do, you know, and all of this. I'm smiling just because I think of the times like this out. At 17, I think we'd been in business so long, everybody just knew what was going on. I'm running the windows, running the expediting in the kitchen. I could not do it. I could not do Friday and Saturday nights. We had 2.5 hour waits. I'm still a kid. My uncle would come in on Friday and Saturdays and run expediting. I'd get all the money. Back then, it was a lot more cash. And I'd go to the hospital, and I'd sit in the bed with Dad, and we'd count it, and we'd fill out all the little MasterCard stuff, you know, and we'd set our inventory orders and just write on the bed and then he'd say, okay, well, we need this much from the ABC store, 17. Now I've turned, you know, I'm now 17.
I love it.
ABC, open my trunk, they'd load it up. Just because it was just
this is incredible.
We're just going down the road.
We have
to keep running. We have to keep running Lavoie's, you know what I mean? So my uncle bought it. Now I'm gonna move on to this. I think I told you on his deathbed, he said, do anything but sell spaghetti. You know, look, I'm leaving. You're gonna get what I've worked for.
Yeah.
You know, there's five of us, five kids. So it's not like we weren't set for life, but it was like, I want you to take this and enjoy and don't worry about money. It comes and it goes and go live your life.
Sure.
Right. Okay. That's what I did. 19 years old, I had a friend that was 21.
Uh-huh.
And we did he got the loan. I did the work. I did the sheetrock work. So did he. We flipped our first little house.
That's so good.
We made $18,000. I thought I wasn't ever going to work again.
Warren Buffett.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I ain't got to do nothing.
I have set. So
let me ask you this. What'd you do with the money that you made? You made $18,000. What'd you do with that money?
I got 9. We split it.
You got 9. Okay. You got $9,000.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
Probably went to
but you didn't
City.
Spend it. You didn't go off and spend it.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Yeah. Okay.
I,
okay.
No, no, I'm sure I spent it. Yeah. Because I still didn't have money. Let me tell you where I went with this.
Yeah.
I had a friend that was doing Section 8 properties.
Mm.
And I said, well, tell me about this. So he was telling me what he was doing and how. Yeah. I said, well, I don't think I want to do that, but this is an incredible return for people that might want to be in this business.
Sure.
So I started setting up, like, I'd go to an attorney and I'd say, do you have, look, here's what I can do. I can find you 5 properties that are going to give you 16% return on your money. I don't have any money.
Hmm.
I'll sell it to you for $55,000. Can we do it? If I can do this deal and sell it to you for $55,000.
You're wholesaling.
And I would reverse it. I'd find the one for $20,000. I'd use their money to fix it up.
Yeah.
And then I'd flip it to them as a turnkey, right? I'd sign 5 with this one, 5 with this one. And I could not find mortgage brokers that wanted to deal with refining them back out so they could get their money back out and, you know, and have a positive cash flow. So I was talking to an appraiser about it. And he said, why don't you just become the mortgage broker?
How old are you again?
By then, I'm now 20. 20, probably turning 21.
Can't even drink.
I've owned a little shoe store at that time that was this whole other deal, like buying like just seconds.
Yeah.
And then buying them for $5, selling them for $21 and sell them. Just all these little businesses. Okay.
So he says, why don't you be the mortgage broker?
Yeah, because here's the thing. You work just as hard on $50,000 mortgage than you do on a $300,000 mortgage.
It's all the same.
And it's on percentages, so everybody wants $300,000.
Sure.
But if I'm making 15 a house or 10 a house or whatever I can make, then I'll sit down and do mortgages. Okay. Why not? Yeah, I can show you how to cash flow back out. I can show you how to build this portfolio that you guys want to do. And there's 25 of y'all that want to do this, or there's 25 houses I got. I need
so you're holding the note on these houses?
No. I am finding, okay, back then, you could next day, 95% cash out refi on appraised value. I know we're off restaurant, but I'm going to get
back. No. I love it.
So you sell it for 55. Every house, Section 8 house out there appraises for 75, right? So they could 95% cash out.
I'd get back 70. Just use 70 for round numbers.
Get back 70. So think about this, right? They're getting back that 15 grand. And then they're also cash flowing 15, 18% on the money, right? So it really became a pretty good system, but I could not find those guys to cash out. They didn't want to work for that little money. Again, I could. So my appraiser buddy says, there's this little place at Chase Corporate Park. Go up there and see if they'll hire you, Zach. You will figure this out. Just go out there. So went up there. I know nothing about mortgages. This is what I know. This is what I'm figuring out. Will you let me just sell these mortgages? Sure. Here's these books. Read them. You didn't have to get licenses back then or anything. Man, I just like sponged it.
Yeah.
And the more I sponged it, I realized, whoa, there's way more money in brokering money than there is in even doing these Section 8s.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm not working my butt off, you know, with these Section 8s.
In the hot sun and laying drywall, yeah.
Yeah, and people getting robbed, you know, and all those things. So I became pretty successful in the mortgage business, ended up breaking or leaving that office, but within the company starting another office, had guys under me. I was doing well.
Mortgages.
Doing well. Now I'm 20.
And this is 2020. This is 2000.
Yeah, 2000. Yeah. So it's just rocking, right? So that 2000 to 2006 or 2005 was just
cranking it.
Cranking it. All right. But we did see things that were going a little, it was getting strange because it got easier and easier to give people money. And we would sit and say, all right, I'm not smart enough to figure out why they're just continuing to write people checks. I don't understand why.
So you saw it. Have you seen The Big Short?
Yeah.
You saw it.
Well, anybody that has now seen The Big Short back then, like the guys like me, were like, we could not figure out.
Something wasn't right, but you couldn't figure it out.
We weren't smart enough to figure that side of things
the
out.
The guy that figured it out was like Asperger's autism. I mean, like he figured it out.
Yeah, you just couldn't. Yeah. You just knew that these guys were coming in saying, get us $3 million worth of loans. Well, what credit score? Oh, 580 is fine. What?
580.
How much do they have to put down?
You can't buy a Coke for 580.
Look, we can do it. We can do a no income, no asset, 100% down, up to $1 million. Just tell me what they do. Well, he cuts grass. Well, just say he owns a landscaping company. It was just the most wild stuff that went on. All right. So anyway, I was getting nervous that something was going on, and my uncle calls and says, I'm going to sell this place.
The restaurant.
To another guy. I'm talking to a couple of different guys, but I don't want any family member mad at me when I do this. Would you like it? I'm just offering it.
Right of first refusal type thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll go down there. I didn't drink much then, but, you know, I'll go down there, have a drink, and just eat and whatever. Sure, I'll buy it. I'm making enough money. We were making a lot of money. That Big Short is kind of the, like, we really were making a lot of money.
You were, and I don't say this in a negative way, you capitalized on all the freedom that the banks were given on the, I mean, like.
Sure, we didn't realize we were capitalizing on it. Now, because of regulation, you realize we were capitalizing.
Were you investing and saving your money wisely back then?
Sure, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we were buying stuff. I was buying real estate. I was putting it in stocks. Definitely. Well,
you grew up in a home of business owners,
yeah,
that had to manage every dollar.
Right.
So you had a lot of dollars, but you were managing it like it was you and your dad sitting on the hospital bed.
Oh, man. I had a dream once. I think I was getting a little off track and had a dream once. And it was Dad and I sitting on the corner, and he was explaining to me tax returns and W-2s and how this works and what's important.
Yeah.
And all these different things, you know, because I think it was definitely embedded in me of like, get back to be responsible. Because there were times that, yeah, I'm going to Aspen for a month, or I'm going over here, there, you know, just still being a kid.
Yeah.
But it got to where, all right, if I'm not smart with this, then there's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make these decisions, right? And I was able to see other friends maybe make their decisions, or other peers, you know. Okay, sure, I'm not work hard. I'll just buy this restaurant and be a LaVoy, right?
Yeah,
or be
that's right.
Because, you know, you spoke earlier when we were off about legacy,
yeah,
legacy properties. You know, and that's how we looked at that, that this is what you're sort of expected
to do.
That's
what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Her last name's LaVoy.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? So, bought it. What was the question? Why did I walk away?
Yeah, why did you walk away?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
All right. So, we did really well through those years.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know Cliff Holt? He owned Little Savannah.
I did.
Or was a chef.
Yes, I've met him two or three times, yeah.
I had one best
friend. I tried to hire him one time.
Did you really? Talented guy. Very talented.
I tried to hire
him
here when I first got here.
Okay.
Thought about him 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know where he is. I don't know where he is.
He got out of the restaurant. But his restaurant went under.
Did he?
And I tried to hire him.
So he said.
That's so funny.
So I had won, I think, 2 years in a row, best Italian in Birmingham, whatever else. And he walks in. And he kind of pats me on. He's older, and he pats me on the back. And he says, congratulations on your win. I said, thanks. And he says, you're going to find out number 5 is really nice. Nobody chases you. You still have a really good business. He said, it's just a very comfortable place to be in, but I'm happy for you.
Meaning he was the 5th best restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still on the list.
I'm still on the list.
No one's,
still
do, no competition.
Nobody wants to beat me. Nobody's watching. Nobody's waiting for you to fail. Nobody's, you know, looking for that. What's he doing wrong? You know, all of those things that come. Number one's fun, but it's a chase, right? You're running from everybody else.
And if you go to number 2, what did I do wrong?
Exactly. Number 2 is why did I lose? But number 5 is kind of like, well, I'm doing good. He had such a good.
Winning.
This is going to come later, probably as we talk about just my philosophy, because I think it was such a smart sentence for me at that time. Okay, so the biggest mistake for me, not for my family, was we didn't own Green Springs.
The building.
45 years of paying rent, right? But very cheap rent. So what they did, they let the spaghetti, we always call the spaghetti. We don't say the food. They let the spaghetti buy the real estate because they were all real. They invested in along the coastlines, even my great-grandfather.
So you were renting the building you were in, but you were taking a lot of some of the profits, and you were buying real estate. They were being wise with the money, with the restaurant
always,
money.
Yeah, they were always.
That's so good.
They were always, well, it's kind of like that Ray Kroc theory, right?
I'm in the food business, but I'm really in the real estate business.
Hamburgers pay for the real estate.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they tried to buy it throughout the years, but there were times, like the family just never really wanted to sell. When I got in there, that particular long lease ran out, and it went through the roof. And I, long story short, to not get into a lot of the personal side of it, we were doing really well, but I couldn't get, it was a lot of deferred maintenance that was going on. And I was getting these 12-month leases. I couldn't get any further than 12-month leases. So, hey, the roof's leaking. You number your tables. So it's like table 7 through 14 leak every time it rains. I have to shut it down. $300,000 for a roof. I'll pay the $300,000. Just give me a 15-year lease. No, we're going to do a 12.
Okay, so.
I'm not sure. Wonderful people. They really were. I just think we're all in business, right? So I'm not real sure.
They wanted to keep going up on your rent.
Or maybe they were waiting for a sell for a price. But even in that thought, I made a pretty good offer. I made a pretty big offer.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of, there was a big family. And it had gotten where it had divided out.
Mm.
So nobody was being vindictive in any of the moves. It just, the business could not align. They couldn't align. Because finally I said, let me buy the place because I knew I'd just be there forever. If I bought it, I'd be there forever, yeah. right? And instead, I moved to Soho, down to downtown Homewood. Wonderful yeah. group of people, wonderful area.
So you moved from Green Springs to downtown Homewood. Mm-hmm.
Still renting. Yeah. That was my mistake. I should have bought. See, I'm now a real estate. I'm a real yeah. estate guy. I give nobody money but myself.
Sure.
I'm not paying rent to anybody. I just won't have it.
You know, it's so funny you say that because there's a video guy that's doing really well. And he's like, hey, he's working out of his house, mm-hmm. does all this video. I mean, because video stuff you can do anywhere. And he texts me a message, hey, there's a building, do I need office space? Mm. I could have hire another guy, bring him in here. It's like $675 a month. Mm. And he went all these things. I said, hey, look, it's cheap for a reason. You can't control who's in the building. I said, stack the $675 as long as you can. Mm. I said, you'll know when you need to buy a place. I said, and then you buy the place. Mm-hmm. You control the tenants that you want in any other part of the building, and you pay yourself.
Completely build your life.
Yeah.
That's the biggest point to that is you can't make, I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, there's other people that say I'm not in the real estate business. I'm in the food business. I'm going to pay rent, so I don't have to worry about it. But for me, I think you have to build the assets.
The guy that we had on here that owns Salon Suites, mm-hmm. he's the opposite. He said it's not worth it because the building is so expensive and the real estate is so expensive in the places that I need to be. He says it doesn't make sense because I have to have 35 parking spots. Mm-hmm. And I have to be in a place that's high trafficy because people are doing hair.
Yeah.
And so to that point, I was like, okay, it makes a little sense. But at some point, do you ever want to buy? I mean, I don't know. I go back. I'm more on your side than I am on the rent side. I hate paying.
It's definitely
rent.
Relative to the business that sure. you own. Let's go back to risk. At least if I fail in the restaurant business, I can rent the building.
Rent the building out.
I still have it.
Yeah.
You know, I can borrow against it when I need to.
Absolutely.
If I know that my cash flow is there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not against debt. I'm just against giving other people money. So why'd I walk away? Why'd I walk away? Let me finish that for you. We were at the end of a 3-year lease. I was 35 and working my butt off, still not really building anything for myself except just making that,
cash
money.
Flow.
Yeah. I had to decide, I just had to decide, is this what I want for the rest of my life? Mm. And I thought back on that real estate business and I was like, I just don't want to be married to this 18 hours a day. I just don't want to do it. And I closed. I talked to everybody. I talked to a mentor of mine. I said, everybody's going to, you know, I have 60 years, Lavoie's restaurant. And Zach closed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he said, you know how long people are going to care about that? About 2 days. He said, they've got so much that they care about for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Just live your life. Just your choices. Yeah. Don't worry about what other people think.
Was he right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was. I mean, of course, it's still a top missed restaurant in Birmingham, you know, at AL.com. And,
yeah.
And we have fun and we talk, and every once in a while I'll cater a birthday or something.
Right.
You can't pay me.
Right.
If they pay me, they get to tell me when and where.
That's right.
If it's free, it's a gift. And
it's a gift.
So that's what I do there.
That's good.
Anyway, so that's it. Just a life.
What's something in the restaurant industry that no one tells you?
What is something in the restaurant industry that nobody tells you? That nobody tells you before you get in?
No one tells the people that don't own restaurants.
There's two different ways to that. One thing, I guess there's two answers. I'm going to alter this question
a little bit.
What is the one thing that everybody tells you that you don't understand until you get into the restaurant business?
Okay.
Is how incredibly hard it is.
Yeah.
And what the individuals that are in the restaurant that don't tell those that aren't is that it's incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Because you have to make it look easy for it to be an enjoyable experience for your customer.
Mm.
Am I wrong?
No, that's exactly right.
You have to wash dishes because your dishwasher didn't show up. And, hey, Zach, a guy named Steve's out there and he wants to say hello.
Absolutely.
Take that hat off, put that hat off. How are
you?
Hey,
good to see you.
You're not telling him what's going on in the back. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I think we all live in the restaurant business. That secret of I'm not in the best position at the moment, whether that's financially or sleep mentally, but I will show my best face to you at all times.
What did running a restaurant teach you as a real estate investor?
Mm. Growing up in the restaurant and running the restaurant taught me people management to no end. I feel like if you were
that's
to ask
so
me,
good.
What are you good at? I would say just the social aspect. I can chameleon to what I need to be to make sure that I'm going to fit in that particular, at that table,
right?
I can have that conversation with anybody, I feel like, and any restaurant person, if they're good at it, should be able to have a conversation with anybody.
I think the difference in you and a lot of restaurant owners at the time is the fact that you weren't a chef.
Not a chef, right.
And that's where, like, for me, I cook really good.
Uh-huh.
You cook really good, probably. Mm-hmm.
Know how to, yeah.
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 But we're not chefs.
Yeah.
We like food, but we love business.
Yes, yeah. The business side. And
the business
people.
Side of it. And that's where I think a lot of chefs screw up, is the chefs are great at making a steak, but the chef doesn't understand the P&L.
Yeah, yeah.
Go
ahead.
Doesn't understand the food costs need to be at 20 to 22%. 29% is not good.
Yeah.
Didn't understand those things because their food is so good and all that stuff.
Or I need to focus on that this steak's going to be okay. I don't want to come out and talk to you right now. There's that back of the house and the front of the house, and you better have good, manage both of them.
You got to be able to do both.
Again, you need to balance it. And we used to sit when I was a kid. If you don't mind, another story here. We had just a glass countertop, and you could see 60% of the restaurant. Right. And I would sit there on dad's lap, 6, 7 years old, 8 years old. And he'd say, what's table 4 need? And what are they talking about?
Mm.
Now tell me table 2. What do you see they need? Well, there's no ice in that glass. Or, there are napkins on the floor. Or this and that. Now let's see which employee picks that napkin up and which employee doesn't. We're not going to go long, but we're just going to see what happens here, you know. So it got to where, then he'd say, baby, go talk to table 9. And the table's here for me, right? And whether it was going to be, it wasn't like, what do you need? It's, how are y'all? And it's great to see you. And how are the kids? And, you know, and all of those things. So I think I had a very good advantage of, he was third generation. I'm fourth, right? So so I think the advantage there was just talk to anybody.
Reps.
Yeah.
That's right. Man. So restaurant, mortgages, constructions, flips. I mean, probably more things that I'm forgetting. If you had to start over today with no money, what's the first move you'd make?
I'm through everything, and now I have nothing. I've lost it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first move I would make is I would sit quiet. I would sit quiet, and I would listen. Let me go this route. I believe that we are in life. Now, I'm going to get philosophical on this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I go too far, but I'm going to tell you what I believe here. We are where we are supposed to be at all times.
I agree.
And our ears and eyes need to be open to the reasons why of that. So the first thing, if I lost everything I had, there would be no fear.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be concern. It would be, I would sit quiet and I would listen. Why? I would learn the lesson. I would try to find the lesson of why am I sitting here and where do you, God, want me to go from here?
Right.
Is that what you're looking for? Or no. What business am I going
to
do?
Tactically. So if you had to start over with no money, what would you do first?
I want to still be in the real estate business.
Okay.
Right. So how would I do that? No money. Do I get trusted friends?
Yes.
Because that's where I would. Because I think friendship is that's something you work on every day.
Every day.
You better.
Yeah.
If you want to be a good person, you better work on friendship. So I thought I'd probably go to trusted friends and say, hey, I know I lost everything. But these are the reasons why.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm now humbled in this situation because I obviously went too far with it. You guys want to play with me for a few minutes.
Yeah, I play in your sandbox. That's right.
If you don't have friends, I don't
know. That's right.
I say work on friends first and then go into business.
Figure it out.
I hope that answers your
question. No, that's good. What separates successful real estate investors from the ones that fail that you've seen?
There's several things to that.
Okay.
I don't want to say I'm a successful real estate guy. I want to say I'm a work in progress every day, right?
But
so it's hard for me.
Yeah.
I know. Like, answer the questions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I have the people that I have seen fail, number one reason I see is over leverage. They count chickens and they over leverage.
Very good.
The cash flow, they count the chickens and the cash flow doesn't work. They didn't study the market correctly. They did not. It's not always their fault.
Yeah.
But they bet too much on what they think is going to happen. They don't listen to the consumer, Joe Consumer, on rates are going up and markets are going down. Everything's going to be great, and all of those things, right? So I'm big about no debt. I'm going to take on a partnership before I'm going to take on debt. So cash flow is going to be the biggest thing here, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's how you lose in the real estate
business. Over-leverage.
Over-leverage yourself.
Over-leverage. All right, so talking about money, what's a belief about money that you had to unlearn?
That it makes you, this is so cliche, but that it makes you happy or that it makes you, that there's security in it. Money's nice. I've had no money twice in my life.
Nice. Yeah.
Coming out of the restaurant, I had spent everything
Did
I could
really?
Into it. Yeah. Yeah. I came out of it like I had.
Even after a sale, you didn't sell, you just shut down.
I didn't sell. I closed.
Why did you not sell?
I talked to a few people that I trusted would take the name and do well with it. There wasn't interest in that sense. They were already doing their own thing. And I was coming up on a lease that I was going to have to sign again. And I wasn't going to sign again. I did not want to lock myself back in. Just, well, we'll go to what I initially I said is I'll just keep catering because catering is phenomenal money and business. You know, you're kind of home. Unless if you just want to do, I did daily, I did daytime catering. So I was always, it was just finished. But then once I got out, I flipped my first little house. I was like, oh my God, that was a 150 catering jobs. It took me 3 months. I'm just going to go into that.
What's really, a belief? What's a belief what's about belief money that it? You had to unlearn?
Yeah, I had to learn that there's not to not be so concerned with it. If I didn't have money in the bank, we were not going to eat. That's how I felt. And that's how most feel, I think.
Sure.
But I had to learn that we're taken care of.
Yeah.
We're taken care of. And it doesn't make you happy. I might have been happier in my life when I'm not managing all the everything that's going on that I am. I choose to be managing a bunch of stuff. I really do for some reason.
Yeah.
But sorry to be so cliche there.
That's a personality thing, though. You choosing to manage a bunch of things is, it's kind of like an addictive personality.
For sure.
You have to control it or it'll mess you up. But like, it's not like, you know, doing meth where it consumes your life.
Yeah.
But you enjoy the multiple things.
Well, I have the brain of if I don't wake up to have these 15 things, I'm wondering why I'm on a round rock in the middle of space and you know, and what's going on with all of this stuff. You know what I mean? I need more focus. So there's almost a hypervigilance there that pushes me into focus in business.
Yeah.
I've been told once, unfortunately, that brings you positive results.
It does.
But it does. Yeah. And it's just part of it.
Part
you know
of
what I mean?
It, yeah.
That's my answer for that.
I love it.